Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building, nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when it comes like the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2021 Travelers Championship, coming to you from the Great Northeast. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful trip from La Jolla, California, up to, I believe it's Massachusetts.
Right.
Massachusetts. Yeah, because Keegan's a local. That's right. So up in the Boston, Massachusetts area, so it's going to be an absolute beaut. If you can check out the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS, I'm at BD Intrick, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, dude. How are you?
Good.
Actually,
good.
It's in Connecticut.
Connecticut, that's what it is. Yeah, Hartford. I think Boston's Boston's during the FedEx.
It's all the same, right?
Yeah, it's all the Northeast. It's
once the people.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be really pissed about that real quick. It is not. Yeah, Boston. But no clam chowder for them. So U.S. Open, that was pretty fun. That was really fun. Like, I didn't get to watch it live because I was at the ball game, but the beautiful thing, I will give golf coverage this much, is every night I got to put it on and watch replays while I did work on my computer. And I watched like the entire final round late last night. It was like John Rahm's a freaking monster.
Yeah, his finish there was pretty incredible. You thought that we were going to have a little bit of a tighter leaderboard about halfway through. You know, there was super bunched and then guys just fell apart. But, Rahm did not, obviously. It's a hell of a finish to finish birdie in the U.S. Open is pretty incredible. I mean, I know 18 was playing really, really easy for a U.S. Open hole, but still, you know, he still had to make a putt. And obviously the bunker shot was
insane,
not easy. And he played it right and gave himself a chance at birdie, and come to find out he needed that birdie because, you know, he won by one. So,
yeah, it was pretty awesome. He played great golf. The favorite took it down, which sometimes sucks, but for like a major, I don't mind it. It's like, yeah, the big dog should win type thing. It's cool. Like, let the favorite lose like this week if you want, or at the Palmetto or some shit like that. But the U.S. Open leaderboard, I kind of even joked about it on Friday, seeing the names up there. It's kind of a 50-50 big dogs and then some kind of what's going on. But I'm like, this is shaping up. And Saturday, it was really shaping up to be something.
Yeah.
And then, like you mentioned, like even mid-round Sunday, there's 15 or 16 guys all within striking distance. And it was like 12 of them were the big boys. Like it was fun. So I was really looking forward to that. But
I'm really pissed I didn't get to fire off my, I had a tweet that I was really thinking about Louis, you know, him about, you know, being like, I called him Brooks Koepka light or something last week or whatever. Yeah. And, I was really rooting for Louis to get it done, man. That fucking tee shot on 17, he hits it in the shit.
And then 18, same.
Well, I mean, 18, he made birdie.
Yeah,
so true. I mean,
17, he screwed himself, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think 18, he hits the tee shot down the left, expecting it to cut, didn't cut, ends up to where he really just can't go for it, that's layup. But the tee shot on 17, man, I mean, you just got to blast that to the right and, you know, make yourself a par.
Yeah.
Still had a chance for, I mean, still had a legitimate chance for par, but obviously making 12, 15 footers all day is not easy, especially at the US Open. Golf course. Yeah.
So. Not a chance. It was just impressive to watch because, like, we get the birdie fest. We'll probably have a birdie fest this week when we talk about that. But you saw, I love a course like that. We've talked about some bad US Opens. It's just stupid. But that was literally a course that if you hit good shots, you got rewarded. If you hit bad shots, you paid a penalty. That was good golf to me. So, and it also kind of proves like that conversation a while back where like Webb Simpson and those guys said, you don't need to change the golf courses. Like you don't have to lengthen them. You just got to do stuff like this. Like given this is a long golf course, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the teeth they put into it, you can put into some other golf courses still. Like you can do that. And I don't know. Like, it could be interesting. I enjoyed Torrey. It was a blast. It's beautiful. The golf was great. The big boys love the place, which is all like that's what you want in a major, at least for me. So I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm with you. I mean, it was definitely a good viewing experience, and you know, it delivered from a perspective of the cream rose to the top as far as the good golfers were all there in contention at least halfway through on Sunday. And then I mean, it was fair. It wasn't easy by any means, but it was a fair test of golf. I feel like, you know, if you hit it in the fairway, you could make birdies. If you don't, you know, there's a good chance you're gonna make a bogey.
Yep. Like when par is a good score, it's always a good test of golf. So
yep.
I was very, very happy with it. And then like we could probably spend a whole podcast talking about the US Open, but we won't. I do want to mention though, I know you favorited one of my tweets. I was just in awe on Saturday afternoon on 18. So many guys in two went deep, deep. Like they were up top. And some of those putts trickling down, like Jordan just misses, and then a couple like Usti, I think, just missed. There's a couple. Usti made his. Rom just missed his. That's what it was. The touch those guys put on those putts, like to them, they made that look kind of easy. They still made it look tough. Like if you or I get behind that ball, I put money on if five, let's just say 10 listeners of this show, I don't care how good you are at golf, if you had to make that putt, 3 or 4 go in the water.
Yeah,
like you're flying down that hill. That was wild.
Yeah, so. and then maybe you know, 3 or 4 don't even get to the ridge there.
Oh, because they're scared. Yeah, it's a scared putt. Totally.
I mean, it takes, you know, these guys are. It's just insane how good professional golfers are. But yeah, it was it was a great golf tournament. I mean, you had a guy like Richard Bland, 36 hole leader, unfortunately fell apart on the weekend.
He has somebody on Saturday, man.
Hey, Henley, dude, missed 5 straight cuts.
Yep.
Comes up out of nowhere. No, it was Mackenzie Hughes missed 5 straight cuts. Comes out of nowhere. Henley pretty much out of nowhere. Never had a top 10, and he missed that little short fucking 2-footer there on 18 to get inside, to stay inside the top 10.
Did you hear what Azinger said?
What?
When he missed that putt, he's like, oh boy, that's going to cost him a lot of money right there. He's going to be so mad when he goes back and sees that one. I was like, oh no.
I think he knew it at the time. But
yeah, because isn't top 10 like locked into the Open next year or something?
I think it gets you an exemption in the Masters.
Yeah.
And probably the British Open or the Open Championship. I mean, there's a lot of parts come along with being inside the top 10 of the US Open almost, there. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was.
We didn't even talk about Bryson.
Oh, well, first off, F Bryson for being a pansy. If the stories are true, who knows? But there was a lot of stories. So it's almost like where there's smoke, there's fire somewhere. When the USGA asked Bryson if he wanted to pair up with Brooks, he said no. Like, that's. You better find a better excuse besides just, no, I don't want to type thing. Like, you better do something. But, he at first, like, I'm watching the app at the game, and I'm like, oh, Bryson's making a charge. Oh, crap. And then all of a sudden, I open it up.
After 9 holes.
And then I open it up, and I see he's nowhere near. I got to scroll to find him, and I'm like, I saw the shot tractor. Whew.
Finished T26. I mean, he shot 44 on the back and included an 8. I guess the dude who ran out, I think it was on 13 or 14, and the streaker guy who ran out and hit him a couple shots and then got tackled, just got shook in his him. Head. I don't know.
Shook him.
So bizarre, man.
There's a lot of real estate in that head, apparently.
You guys out there in California are wild.
I don't even know what brings someone to streak, dude. Like,
I wasn't naked a lot. Have you seen the videos?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's videos there. I mean, that might not still be available out there. He wasn't naked by any means, but he ran out. He had a golf club. He had 2 golf balls. He throws both golf balls down. He takes this one. Got a good swing. This is the same guy, apparently, who shot 108 at a Monday qualifier for the Korn Ferry Tour not too long ago. He's a YouTuber. So it was a publicity stunt, 100%.
Okay, gotcha.
He
How do you get a golf club in? How do you get a golf club in the course?
These are the questions that need to be answered.
I went to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. The security was like the craziest thing I've ever seen for a golf tournament.
Well, don't think I can figure out. Maybe he came up the side of the hill, yeah. But I mean, like
he's one of the parasailers
from the beach. Maybe, you know, yeah. Who knows? But he's got him a golf club. He throws him down a golf ball, takes a swing, and hits it like out into the middle of nowhere, and then hits another one and dances around a little bit, and then
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
I'm gonna have to check that out because I saw Streaker and I assumed, you know, he got naked guy running down the fairway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, oh. the Bones had a great description of it, exactly how it happened. Everybody was thinking, oh, you know, he said the guy had a club and two balls, and they're like thinking, you know, the guy's naked. Yeah. No, not naked. He literally had a club and two balls, throws him down, knocks, and like, just weird.
Oh, that's great. Shit. That's great. Yeah, California does have a lot of weirdos. I will let you guys have that. I've lived here my whole life, and it's certain areas you go to, you're just like, oh, how do we even share the same zip codes? It is pretty wild, but yeah, that's California for you. But yeah, great golf tournament. Lots of fun. Hope people enjoyed it. Hope people made some money. It was, some of the cuts were tilting, but that's the U.S. Open. You knew it going into it. There was going to be some like, well, okay, lastly, Hovland having to withdraw because he gets sand in his eye from a practice bunker. Never even imagined something like this before.
So there was from I was actually on the golf course Friday evening and did not. That's a good point too. But about the guy who made the YouTube comment there, Poulter had to go. You go ahead.
I know. I said Poulter had to back off a tee shot because of a cloud of weed smoke.
Yeah,
that is California for sure.
Yeah, but I didn't know what happened with Hovland. Like I was on, like I said, I was on the golf course. Then I started seeing text messages about Hovland, because I played him in, of course, the one lineup that fucking mattered. I played him in it, and they said he withdrew. So it happened before. Like I figured it happened on the golf course because he showed it. He tweeted out a picture with himself with a patch on his eye.
Yeah, patch on there. Yeah. Yeah. No. There's a tweet with that, and then he has a big like a two notes thing, and he talked about using the practice bunker before his round, and got a fleck of San Diego beach or sand or something in his eyes. What he called it. And he thought he could wash it out and be fine. And it irritated him for a bit, but he thought he got rid of it. And by like the eighth hole, he could barely see out of his eye. And when he bogeyed like three in a row, he's like, I got to go. Like, I can't see anymore. So they had to go. And yeah, I'd never heard anything like that in my life. That makes me want to put like safety goggles in my golf bag from now on. It's like freaking bananas.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So I don't know. At first, I thought it was just because he was trunk slamming because I didn't know what happened.
Well,
then I saw the post. I was like, ooh. Okay, makes more sense. Maybe that's why he was trunk slamming to begin with, and he was popular. He's very popular. But okay, enough's enough. Like I said, we could do this all day with the U.S. Open. Let's talk Travelers Championship, and it's a very loaded field for the week after a major, Jesse. So why don't you give us some past event history on this one and tell us about all the birdies?
I'm super surprised how good of a field this is, especially going from literally like
coast to like tip.
I mean, like almost as far as you can fly. Yeah. And still be in the continental United States. Last year, DJ was the champion, 19 under, one shot over Streelman. 2019, Ches Reavie, 17 under, four shots over Bradley and Zach Sucher. 2018 was Bubba's third win, 17 under, three shots over Casey, Sink, Holmes, Bo Hostler. 2017 was the Jordan Spieth chip-in from the bunker in a playoff, 12 under over Daniel Berger. Russell Knox was the 2016 champion, 14 under, one shot over Jerry Kelly. Like I said, Bubba's won this three times. Kevin Streelman's a past champion. Leishman's a past champion. Stuart Sinks actually won this twice. I don't know if it's at the same place, but it might be. And Mickelson actually has won this back-to-back in 2002 to 2001, and he's in the field.
There's some names you mentioned there that are Pete Dye specialists, and that comes into play because we had a Pete Dye golf course, TPC River Highlands. You know, Sink already won at Heritage this year, Pete Dye golf course, a couple W's. You mentioned Bubba. He loves these kind of golf courses, so you got that going for you. There is going to be a trend. You'll hear that all week like we talk about, but you hear it a lot because it usually pans out is the weird part about it. It's a short par 70, 6,841 yards. It's the second shortest course on tour behind Pebble Beach. But obviously, unlike Pebble Beach, which is relatively wide open, and your biggest defense is the ocean breeze, this is a Pete Dye design. So it's you have to hit your golf shots in the right spots to get your approach game. Once an approach game golf course, and you got to run hot with the putter. It's a bent grass POA mix, and it runs a little faster than it used to, but still very gettable. The fairways are very wide, they're one of the easier ones to hit on tour. They're tree lined, so if you really start spraying stuff, you're in trouble. But for the most part, you're going to be fine there. There's two par fours that are shorter than 400 yards. Par the 15th is 296. Most guys go for the green in one on that one. Not a whole lot of water on the course, so you're good to go there. Par four scoring, they say it's one of the easiest golf courses on tour to birdie par fours. Like, it's like a lights out par four. Again, goes back to the approach game. You can be a bomber, be successful. You saw DJ, but a lot of those names Jesse mentioned aren't really the bomber types. It's that second shot coming in, and then you get the short game working. So hot putter week is what it sounds like to me, Jesse. What do you like in here?
That's great. It's always fun. It's very predictable to know who's going to putt the best. Look at a lot of just, you know, birdie fest type of stats, greens and regulation, you know, stroke scan approach, plenty of course history. So that's there. And obviously weight, like birdie or better versus, you know, bogey avoidance. You got to go low here. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. Go low, make it happen. FanShare is not updated, so I can't give you an update there. But I do go to them every Wednesday night to check out ownership and help me make some pivots. And this is going to be a great week for pivots, just making my list of players. A lot of guys in similar price ranges. So you can make some pivots and make it happen. Because birdie fest, hot putter weeks, avoid the chalk is the way I look at this one. There's going to be a lot of chalk. So let's get into the DK pricing on this one. 10K and above. The defending champion, Dustin Johnson's 11-4. You got Bryson 11-1, Brooks 10-7, Cantlay 10-4, Reed 10,000. Maybe we'll get Brooks Bryson here.
Good. It's entirely possible.
I'm here for it. What do you like in this range?
I mean, obviously, Dustin Johnson, 11,400, defending champion. Surprised he's playing. He's got two straight top 20s, which is for him is not great. DJ's game is just in a weird place, I feel like, because he finished 10th last week and was – or 19th, excuse me, 10th the week before at the Palmetto. And it didn't really play bad at all. I mean, 71, 73, 68, 74 for him. So, you know, three over on the on Sunday to kind of fall back a little bit, but didn't get any airtime hardly at all. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know how much I really want to play DJ. Bryson, 11,100. I mean, I think he's super playable this week. I don't like to say that a lot, but 6th, 8th, and 9th in his last three starts at this golf tournament. So three straight top 10s. Now, obviously, the 26th at the U.S. Open is going to skew things a little bit. But, again, he shot 44 on the backside. He was leading after 9 holes, playing well, and then just shit hit the fan for him. I mean, he literally was hitting it, like, just straight into crowds. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but
yeah, he was hitting it where he wanted to for his approach shot coming in. Yeah, crazy.
I mean, and just aiming for the rough sometimes and just hitting it right in the rough. Anyways, that's what he was doing. Cantlay at 10-4. I think he's, you know, playable as well. 11th, 15th, 15th in his last three starts at this golf tournament. 15th place finish the U.S. Open, won the Memorial. Quite obvious to me that he's playing pretty good golf. I think he'll be popular. I don't know, man. I'm just not in love with any of these guys above 10K. I don't know how much I'll really be up here, but those are the three I would like kind of focus on. I think Brooks is okay, but, you know, again, Brooks just doesn't give a shit outside of majors. He's played this golf course 4 times, nothing better than 9th, and that was back in 2016 when he actually probably gave a shit because he didn't have millions of dollars at the time, at that time. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, are you playing Patrick Reed this week?
If I'm up here, he's on my list, but I'm probably not going to be up here. It's one of those weeks, like the previous birdie fest type weeks. I'll take 9K and below, and I'll load up on like 2 or 3 9K guys and kind of build from there. I like DJ. If he wants this, he'll take it type thing. He's that good. Like you said, at Palmetto, he had signs where he's actually pretty decent. And even at the Open on Friday, he was outside the cut line, and then like he just tore it up his last 3 or 4 holes. So the game's there. It's just not consistent yet. It's just a matter of if he gets it to be consistent, he's pretty good. A lot of these guys might be playing this event to head over the pond after this because the British Open is in 3 weeks. So they might, you know, take a week off, play around, like, what is it, the Irish or Scottish Open, and then play the Open Championship. So maybe that's why they decided to come up here, get one more tournament in, and then head that way. But DJ I like and Reed I like if I'm up here. That's pretty much where I'm at. Bryson, he's finished great here, like you said. I just always wonder about him. If he's just trying to crush it everywhere, it's not as big of an advantage, I'd say, on this course. It is, obviously. It's always an advantage to have a wedge in your hand. I'm not going to deny that. But if it's not a length course, like shorter guys can still succeed here, is it going to separate from the field as much? That's the question I have with Bryson. But if he's on, sure. Like, I don't blame you if you want to play him. I'm going to avoid this range, though, and I'm going to head to the 9K range. We got Casey at 99, Scheffler 96, Streelman, Kevin Streelman, folks. I did not stutter. Is $9,400. He is a defending champion, like Jesse said, and he's been playing great of late, but still a bit much for me. Wolf's 93, Finau 92, Answer 91, and Neiman is 9,000. So where do you look at in this 9K range?
Let's start with Paul Casey at 9,900. Yeah. He had a really good weekend, 67, 70 over the weekend, finished seventh. Before that, the PGA Championship, he was fourth. Wish I would have played him last week. He's got a pretty good track record around here, 32nd, fifth, second, fifth in his last four starts, and another second place finish back in 2015. So very, very good track record at this golf course. Streelman at 9,400. I feel like most people won't want to pay for him. He is a past champion, like we talked about, finished second last year here, and has played really solid of late. 15th last week, 13th Memorial. If you go back to the PGA Championship, 8th there, 20th the Charles Schwab Challenge in between. I mean, basically four straight top 20s for Kevin Streelman, $9,400. Matthew Wolf, 9,300. Two straight missed cuts here. I just don't know, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see, like,
he tore it up last week.
He did, man.
Nothing forever.
Well, apparently he'd been taking time off, I guess, to get his mental health together or something.
Oh, good for him if that's the case. I yeah. haven't heard
any of that. That's what I kind of took from his press conference. Now, he did also say that one thing that was really, really odd to me, that professional athletes go through a lot more difficult stuff than just normal people.
It's a bold statement. I'm not saying they don't have issues, but that's a bold statement. I'd like to give up my day job to go play professional sports. I'd like to give it a try. I really would, and see.
Me and you both.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
They go through shit, whatever. Yeah. But, like, you know, dude.
I get heckled at work too.
Let's look at the grand scheme. I mean, Wolf is GPP only, obviously, with the two straight missed cuts coming in here at this golf course. The 15th place finish last week, and he hadn't played before that in between the U.S. Open and the Masters, where he was DQ'd out of the Masters, withdrew from the workday. I mean, it was just a clusterfuck for him there. So I get why he took time off maybe got his head on straight. He looked obviously a lot better last week. And then Bubba, that's 8,900. I'm skipping ahead. I'm sorry. That's all I got. Those three guys.
I love Casey. He's like, I'm afraid he's going to be chalky.
Dude, he's going to be, but I think you just got to.
I think he's great chalk. Like, we talked about even last week that he'd be chalky, and he followed it up. He's playing such great golf right now. Like, phenomenal golf. T7 at the US Open, 6 at the European Open, T4 at the PGA, Valspar. It's like a correlating course to Valspar to some. And we've seen him win there twice, finished 21st, 5th at the Players. Like, the dude is playing lights out golf. If he fails like a short course Pebble, T5. We've seen him win at Pebble. He ran up runner up to Phil that one year when it got dark. Like, anything can happen in golf, but the way he is playing golf right now at $9,900, I don't see what separates him a ton from some of those guys in 10K range.
Yeah,
like, I really don't. So it's harder to pay for that when I can get Casey and get some more guys. That's just some chalk I feel like eating, unless it's like insane, like 35-40% chalk, which I doubt we'll see. I think he has got to play Paul Casey. It's just one of those that I'll suck it up. Scheffler's intriguing to me. Scheffler's very intriguing because if it's a birdie fest, we know Scottie Scheffler can go on birdie fests. Even if he gets, like, he can go on runs aplenty. So I think Scottie Scheffler at 96 gets overlooked in a lot of tournaments. I think he's very, very much in play this week. I don't disagree with your Streelman takes because I saw the price, and the first thing I did, I'm like, what? I think a lot of people are going to do that, like you said, and you might get him really low owned. It's still very tough to stomach even clicking the button to put him in at $9,400. But if you like the other pieces, like if you're playing Paul Casey, you can play Streelman and you're already going to be freaking ahead of the field, probably being different that way. So it's an angle. Not sure that's the way you want to be different, but I get it. Like, the form's good. The history's good. You can go there. The other guy I'm really looking at this week is Abraham Answer. He's coming in some very poor form, very poor. Miscut in his last two events. But prior to that, was playing great golf. 14th at the Schwab, 8th at PGA, 2nd Wells Fargo, 5th at Valspar. And he loves Pete Dye golf courses. Loves them. He failed us at the match play. I'll never forget that. He failed us big time. But he loves Pete Dye golf courses. So Answer at 91, I think, is a nice guy that I'm hoping people leave alone because of the issues the last few weeks. Plus, you got Finau, who everybody loves, $100 more than him, and Neiman's already getting talked about a lot right below him. So I like Answer at 91 to go with Casey in this range. 8K range. Got Bubba at 89, who's going to be probably popular as well. Harmon at 88, Smith 87, Hoffman 86, Kim Siwoo 85, Justin Rose $8,400. Henley 83, English 82, Leash 81. Leash is pretty cheap. And then Adam Scott 8K. I love this range, and I have a lot of questions in this range. Yeah. So who do you like first?
Start with Bubba at 89. Like you said, I do think he'll be popular. Obviously, three-time champion of this event. And when Bubba like gets on tracks that he likes, he can go really low. He actually, you know, he had a really good Friday round to put himself in contention, and just absolutely had a terrible weekend, 77-76 over the weekend at the U.S. Open. So I think a great pivot off of him is Brian Harmon, $8,800. Missed cut last year at this event, but 8th, 6th in the 2 years previous to that, and made the cut at the U.S. Open, finished 19th, 8th the week before that at the Charles Schwab. He did miss the cut at the PGA Championship, but before that, 18th, 13th, 12th, 3rd. I mean, just playing really, really solid golf. Charlie Hoffman, $8,600. I think he's fine as well. I like Siwoo. I'm sure Mayo will be on him, so it might bump him up a little bit. But 11th here,
never.
11th here last year. Missed cut the year before that, and then 26th, 25th in the 2 years that he played prior to that. He didn't make the cut last week at the U.S. Open, and then also finished 40th, and then finished 9th at the Memorial. So got some pretty decent form coming in. Henley's interesting, man. I feel like when Henley gets hot.
Yeah,
like he just gets runs. Hot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you look kind of back, you know, 13th place, obviously, last week, but missed the cut at the Memorial. Before that, he made two cuts in a row. Not great, but missed the cut at the Valspar. 9th and 3rd at the Honda Classic, missed cut. 38th, 30th, missed cut. 11th at the Sony Open way back in January. I mean, I don't know. Like his course history is not wonderful. 32nd, missed cut. 6th, 11th, the 6th place finish there. Gives me a little bit more hope. Be interesting to see how highly touted he is, and that's kind of where I'm at in this range.
Yeah, Bubba's, I think, a really good play. I'm with you. But unlike Casey, I really don't want to play a chalk Bubba. There's a difference there. So I'm in on Bubba. If he comes in, even if it's like 15%, I'll probably play some. But I don't want to I can foresee this being closer to the 20% range, and that gets a little steep for me. I love the Brian Harmon call. I always love playing Brian Harmon. He's even been better on longer courses, but I've like short courses like this, I almost plug him in automatically. He's a grinder. He's actually played well on Pete Dye. WGC is an example, but he played well on Pete Dye courses in general. And his overall game, like you mentioned, running down his recent finishes, he's playing great golf, like really, really good golf, even at a decent U.S. Open. So Harmon at 88, I like quite a bit this week. Hoffman's a great play. If you're talking about irons and approach game, still one of the best in the game. So Hoffman at 86, very, very strong. A guy that I love, and I was all in on him last week, and he came through on Sunday, finished 3rd, is Harris English. The dude has figured it out after that funk.
Like, I'm not kidding. I thought of you the whole time.
Yep. I loved him last week because no one played him, like I said, because they don't see him. He's not a long hitter, and I get it. But last week proved U.S. Open style. There was a lot of non-long hitters that were contending last week because par is a good score. You don't have to be getting eagles and birdies all the time. So English is at 82. I like a lot this week. My question for you, because you already talked about Henley, and I'm kind of curious on him there, seeing ownership and everything. Like, do people think after kind of the quote-unquote collapse on Sunday, is he not, you know, focused or whatever? But Leishman's kind of cheap, different kind of course for him. But Adam Scott at 8,000, Jesse. Like, this is an interesting play.
Yeah, I mean – Adam Scott, especially at that price, is always kind of live for me, but I don't know, man. I've kind of just backed off of playing Adam Scott because he's just wears me the fuck out watching him miss 5-footers all day. I would much rather play Leishman, especially with his course history. He's played this place a lot and made a lot of cuts, and so I'd rather go that route.
Justin Rose is the new Adam Scott. It's so much fun.
Dude, I can't believe how bad he played last week.
Yeah, and but the problem is, similar to Adam Scott, he can come out and win it this week and be like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Justin freaking Rose. This is what he does. And he'll go and miss 5 straight cuts after this. That's just what he's going to do. So embrace the chaos. $7,500 to $7,900, you got Higo, Bradley, Homa, Phil, Molinari, Francesco, that is, Burns, Tringale, Redmond, HV3, Jason Day, Kevin Na. What do you like in this range?
Start up top with Keegan and Higo both. I think they're both playable. Keegan, obviously from the area or around here anyways, he's a northeastern guy. He did miss the cut his last time out at the Memorial, but he was playing pretty well before that, 17th, 18th, 2nd in his three starts before the Memorial. He did miss the cut here last year, but before that he finished second, has an eighth place finish in there too. And then, you know, Higo obviously coming off the win, he did miss the cut at the U.S. Open, but I think he's very playable. He's never played here. Franny, man, I think Franny's super interesting at 7,700. So he's made three straight cuts here, which he hasn't played here since 2019. But either way, he's made the cut in all three of his appearances. Out of nowhere, 13th place finish at the U.S. Open last week. I mean, 68, 76, 69, 71. That's really good. And he was not owned at all whatsoever. Sam Burns at 7,700. Two straight made cuts at this course. Did miss the cut at the U.S. Open. I'm not really super worried about that. But he seems to like this place well enough. And then Doc Redman at 7,600. He finished 11th here last year. Coming off the second place finish at the Palmetto. Seems to be pretty hot right now. So that's just where I'm at.
We know a special someone that'll be on him then. Higo and Bradley both at 79. I like him quite a bit. Bradley, I think he'll be quite popular because of the local narrative. He's played great here, and he's coming in pretty good form. So I don't mind Bradley. Higo, I'm hoping comes in lower own. Probably won't, but I think he's a very, very good play at a course like this. The other guys I'm thinking, because the 7K range, especially the bottom 7K, there's a lot of interesting plays where you can definitely go with some ownership plays. But Cameron Tringali at 76, I think is going to go virtually unowned. Let's not forget, he was like 10K not too long ago, which was crazy to begin with. We won't get into that part of it. But he was playing great golf, 13th at the Honda, 9th at Valero, 3rd at Valspar, then back-to-back missed cuts at the Wells Fargo and the PGA, then he went 32nd, 26th. Now he's $7,600. He's priced like reasonably now. So I have no problem going to Tringali at 76, at potentially a very low-owned play on this one. And then the other ones I don't mind. You always have the headache with Kevin Na, but he loves playing Pete Dye courses. He's $7,500. He's one of those guys in the 7K range that could win any golf tournament. So Kevin Na at 75, I have circled. And that's it. And for me in the $7,500 range, what do you have from 7K to 7,400?
Griot at 7,300. You know, he's made all four cuts that he's in, which is the last 4 years for him. I mean, not great finishes. 60th, 60th, does have a 19th place finish in 2018. 43rd all the way back to 2017, coming off a miscut at the Memorial, but I think he's playable at 73, still at 72. Kind of trunk slammed on me at the U.S. Open last week. I mean, he didn't play terrible. He shot 2 over, 3 over. I think the cut was what, 4?
Yeah, 4.
So he missed it by 1. Not the end of the world. He's played around here plenty of times, finished 6th last year. So I will go back to still at 7,200. Guido, I'm just going to call him Guido.
Yep.
7,200. You know, he's going to be popular.
Very popular.
I know a lot of the Euro guys who follow that tour week in and week out. And they've been on him for a long time. And so they were really happy with his fourth place finish. Got him into the Masters. But at $7,200, the dude's playing really well right now. I mean, he's never played here, but obviously fourth last week. Second the week before that at the British Masters, or the month before that, I guess. I think he finished second there to Richard Bland that week. Anyways, Carlos Ortiz, 7,100, your boy. Course history's not great. Miscut, 17th miscut. But I think he's fine. I mean, this model likes him well enough. Pat Perez.
Yep.
I'm playing flat bill this week, 7,000. Yep. Now, he does have two straight missed cuts at this course. Last time he played here was 2018, but coming off the 10th place finish at the Palmetto. And then my model just absolutely loves some Kyle Stanley this week at $7,000.
I was wondering. Yeah. Well, that bottom 7K range, like there's some arguments to be made, so I'll get there in a minute. But Poulter at 74, especially in cash, I like Poults quite a bit. He might not be able to contend high, but he's going to make cuts for you. So like Poulter at 74, Stugoat at 73.
Yeah.
He won the RBC. We talked about two-time winner here. I think this fits him very well at $7,300. What do you think about Ricky Fowler coming in playing good golf?
Yeah. I mean, Ricky at 7,300 is starting crazy. To get, especially at this golf course now. He's not played here since 2013. He finished 13th then and 13th in 2010. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, at 7,300, it's starting to become –
He's cheap.
And did you see too where he's going to be a dad in November?
Oh boy, yeah, play him. No, it's good. That's a $7,300 for a guy of Ricky's caliber. Like, I'm not saying he's going to go to the Jordan Spieth reclamation project, but he's not this bad either. Like, no, he's not.
He's not $7,300. I would take him over a lot of these guys down here.
Yeah. So I think Fowler really should be rostered quite a bit this week. So keep that one in mind with Ricky. I like the Griot call a lot. Love him on short courses. I think it's on a ball strikers course, like, beautiful for Griot. Like, it's always about putting, as you said. But similar to CT Pan at 72, he's made 3 or 4 straight cuts. He's back in pretty good form. What about a guy, if it's a birdie fest, it's a short course, RBC Heritage, finished top 5, Matt McNeely at 72? Can be quite interesting.
Yeah, I can see that.
You mentioned Guido, but okay, 7K. I'm not playing all these guys, obviously, but I just want to bring them up for discussion because this is where I'm going to play ownership in a big, big way. One of the defending champions, Knox at 7K. Another guy, ball striking course. He's actually coming in good form. Flat Bill at 7K. Like him a lot. But you have Reavy, the defending champion. He's back-to-back decent weeks after just being lost completely. It's like, if you like Franny, you almost kind of have to like Reavy a little bit.
I can see that, yeah.
It's a weird combo. Mm-hmm. So I had Stanley written down. And then what if I told you that this golfer, let me actually go click on him. I got to scroll here. What if, his recent form, he has an 18th at the Memorial, 14th at Schwab, 44th at PGA, 39th at Byron Nelson, 26th at Wells Fargo, then a missed cut at the Valspar. He had a 5th at the Players. He's made like 9 of his last 10 cuts. Taylor Gooch is $7,000.
Yeah.
So the bottom 7K range, like, I can make arguments for a lot of these guys over the top 7K range.
The problem with Gooch, that just one thing on Gooch, he's missed the cut twice here in 2 starts.
Okay. So that's fair. That could be a nice differentiating factor. Yep. But basically, this bottom 7K range, this is where if I play Buck AC, we'll just play ownership down here all day long. Like, I have no problem because all these guys you could see top 30, top 20 potential. Maybe one of them runs hot. Who knows? I'm a big fan of that region right there. See what happens. 6K range. Who stands out to you?
Will Gordon at 6,900 from a stats perspective. And also, he finished third here last year. So, coming off the 14th place finish at the Palmetto. Adam Long, another guy who's had some success at this tournament, 24th and 21st in his last 2 starts of this tournament, and has made 2 straight cuts, 2 straight top 25s, basically 26th at the Memorial. Hank Lebioda, 6,700. Another guy made 2 cuts in a row at this golf course, has made 4 in a row on tour. And scrolling on down, for some reason, my model loves Luke Donald. Don't know why necessarily, yeah. But it does. I'm guessing because of all the damn greens he hit. Mm-hmm. His last 2 starts where he made the cut, 31st and 13th in his last 2 starts. Made the cut last year here, 6,400. Another guy, Davis Thompson, 6,300. He played the Palmetto. I'm guessing he's a Corn Ferry guy most of the time, but finished 35th at the Palmetto.
Remember, it's a birdie fest. This fits Corn Ferry guys very well. This is what they're bred to do. They're either going to trunk slam or they're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
We've seen like Hughes and some other guys shoot 60s in opening rounds recently here. So having the Ferry guys aren't the bad idea. Lipsky at 69, I think, is interesting. 2 straight made cuts in the Corn Ferry Tour, then a T8 at Palmetto. He's $6,900. I like Lebioda. Bramlett's always a birdie machine, but he can be tilting. Kadire, I've been playing him I've been playing him a ton lately. He's $6,500. He's still like a top 50 or 60 player in the world, and he's made 3 or 4 straight cuts, and he's finished very well of late. So Kadire at 65, I like. I had Luke Donald written down too. There's actually a lot of interesting plays down here if you need to get frisky. I don't plan on coming down here too much, but I could see the argument in this field because it's a very good field, but it kind of the bottom like 7K into the 6 kind of spreads out really weird. So you can make some arguments for sure. Recapping things real quick, Jesse, who's your top play 10K and above?
I'll say Bryson.
I'll go with that's a good play. I'll go with Reed for me. I just don't like the range at all. 9K, who's your top play?
Harmon.
That's 8K.
Oh, Paul Casey.
Yeah, I'll go with Casey too. 8K, you got Harmon.
Yeah.
You want to pick a second one?
I'll say Siwoo.
Okay. Is that 7K or is he an 8K? He's an 8K, you're right.
Yeah.
In the 8K range, I will go with Harris, English, and Harmon as well. 75 to 79, who's your top play?
I'm going to say Franny.
I like it. It's ballsy. I'm going to go with Tringale. 7K to 7,400, go with two.
Steele and Pat Perez.
We'll go Ricky Fowler and... I like the Perez call. I'll go Ricky Fowler, and I'll go Stugoat. I'll go Stugoat Sink. Who's your top 6K guy?
Hank Lebiota.
I'll go with Soshi Kodaira at $6,500. All right. If you're building the cash game lineup this week, who's your three guys you starting out with?
I think you got to start with Paul Casey for sure. And that's not going to be unpopular to do that, but I would put him in there. You know, Charlie Hoffman's probably pretty close. I don't know how well that's going to build out for you, but if you wanted somebody like lower, I think Steele this week makes the cut. So,
yeah, I like Casey, Casey English Poulter. That's how I'd start things out. If you're starting on a GPP though, who are you starting out with?
Bryson, you know, up top there. If you're wanting to, because I do feel like the a lot of people will think like we, me and you, right? They're going to be like,
avoid the 10K.
I don't want to pay for that. So I think Bryson's playable. Kyle Stanley, just because my model absolutely loves him. And then, you know, you could throw in a guy like Pat Perez.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I'll go with Casey. Like I said, I'm going to eat that chalk, but then I'll go with Brian Harmon and I'll go with Ricky Fowler. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing Ricky Fowler's ownership because I rarely ever play this guy, so it's he's probably going to finish like 12 over par. It's going to be so much fun, but the talent's there. But all right, final thoughts on the Travelers. We have a Rocket Mortgage, then the John Deere, and then we go overseas coming up real soon, the last major of the year already.
Yeah, man, it's hard to believe. I don't have any final thoughts other than have fun, I guess.
It's going to be a fun week. It's a good field. Next 2 weeks are going to be little depleted fields, and then we get the open. So if you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. Come join us in the free fantasy Slack chat. We got guys that are in the Slack chat for baseball and basketball and stuff that all of a sudden found the golf one. They listened to the show, and one guy had like a top 15 or 20 finish in a GPP last week. He's like, oh, it's great. So much fun. I'm like, yeah, golf's a fun DFS sport most of the time. But so come check us out there if you have any questions. Hit up Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at B. Dientrich, and we will be back with you guys next week. Good luck.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.